I hate you! Some of us here have heard those words. It flashes me back a long time ago when my sister said it to my mother. She was filled with fury. She thought her rights were being violated. She wanted to have things her way, and she screamed to my mother, "I hate you!" Ugly. You know, any good parent is probably going to hear those words at one point or another. A mother or a father trying to do their job. Kids hit those delightful years between 13 and 17 where they're so friendly and kind and generous. And they think that they're running the show when they're not. And those words. Of course, my mom looked like my sister had punched her in the face. That would have hurt a lot less. But my mother was doing the right thing. My sister was doing the wrong thing, but she could have said, "Well, Jesus said I'm supposed to hate my mother and father." Okay, so with the Gospels, sometimes we have to slow down. Let's think. Most of you know that my name's Father Riley. I make the rounds of the diocese at Bishop Burbage's behest, reminding you that we have a retreat center out in White Post, the San Damiano. It's just over the Blue Ridge, outside of Beltway land, Deo Gratias. And the retreat schedule, ArlingtonDiocese, one word, .org/retreat, ArlingtonDiocese.org/retreat, we're out there. But what one thing we do is Friday to Sunday retreats, silent retreats for men and women, where the whole object is to slow down, have Christ there in the Blessed Sacrament, catch up on sleep. Jesus did say, "Come aside and rest a while." Then there's an incredible receptivity. Then you have the trouble to grapple with some of these passages, like, "If anyone comes after me without hating his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even his own life," it sounds insane. Well, when you slow down and bring it to prayer, we know Jesus is not saying hate your father and mother. Other places he said honor your father and mother. So what's at work here? Well, Jesus Christ is not speaking the King's English or the Queen's English or English at all. He's not speaking Latin. He's speaking Aramaic. So the Holy Spirit presided over the writing down of the Gospels. They're inspired, inerrant. The evangelist wrote down the things Jesus really did and said. But he's not speaking English. A translator looked at this and said, "Well, it means hate." Proper translation, to hold at naught. N-A-U-G-H-T, to hold as naught. So that if Father gets in the way of Christ, Christ comes first. If Mother gets in the way of Christ, with all due respect, Christ comes first. You might get a slap, but maybe you deserve it. He got a few slaps too, didn't he? We have to hold at naught anything or anyone who comes between us and Christ. It can be a person, it can be a thing, it can be a pleasure, it can be the all-holy screen that we carry around with us. All these things are good, but if we put them above Christ, insignificance, false gods. That's what he's saying. That's what makes sense. And probably all of us here have something we've got to let go of. This is going to sound counterintuitive. Frequently, the big things are easier to let go of than the little things. So when you gather here before the altar to receive Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, if you're not sure what it is, ask him. He's already got something in mind. And again, the small things are tenacious. So don't go home hating your mother or father. Go home thinking, okay, what do I need to hold at naught? That's the key. Last half of the gospel takes it a step further. Once you've dealt with those obstacles, hopefully mother and father are not obstacles. Wife, spouse, whatever, hopefully not obstacles. But if they've been dealt with and they're not obstacles, now, you got to have a plan. Now, you can remember the citation, Luke. Anyone can remember the Gospel of Luke. And the number 14, 2 times 7 equals 14. Luke 14 is where this passage is today. The last two-thirds, really, of this gospel, he says, you've got to plan. You've got to have a plan. If you're going to build, you need drawings. You need a foundation. You need money. If you're going to war, you've got to have the right number of soldiers and deploy them. If you don't have a plan, you're going to strike out. So far more important than hitting a baseball, the plan for your spiritual life. Now read my lips. Got a lot of experience. Don't think big. Think small. When it comes to the spiritual life, think small. Think of an acorn and the tree that it becomes. A tiny egg which can grow into a blue whale. Think small in the spiritual life. For example, okay, the plan. You know what you're doing right now. God bless you. You're either holy enough or crazy enough to believe that if you get up on a dreary, gray, rainy Sunday morning and drive those roads out there, which are more exciting than any video game, to get here into this parking lot, and you're here before this altar, you believe that it's not just a little white disc of bread. God bless you, you're right. It's Jesus. He's worth getting up for. So you're not crazy. You're well on the way to being holy. At the head of the week now, you receive the nourishment you receive. You say, all right, I'm going to be one of Christ's athletes. What more can I do? Then there's the plan. Probably when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do before you check your emails is say a quick prayer. The last thing you do before you go to bed at night, aside from checking emails, say a prayer. Bracket your day with prayers, something simple. Grace before meals. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir. A lot of people don't. So before I get up, when I hit the sack, prayer before meals. Okay, you probably got that down. Some of you here are praying the rosary all 5 decades. Great. If you're not, start with 1 decade a day. 1 decade takes 3 minutes. Many people maybe think they're too busy to pray 5 decades. Who's so busy they can't pray 1 decade, 3 minutes? Easily done. It's a step or a half step forward. Part of the plan. Write it down in a holy card. Keep it with you to remind you each day, here are the things I'm going to try to do. Want to take it beyond that? Look at the Gospels, uniquely transformative literature, nothing like it. Mankind's greatest artistic accomplishment because they are 100% human and 100% divine. When you read them and treasure them and ponder them the way the Blessed Mother did, they affect you. Maybe not as powerfully as the bread of life, but in a similar way. There's power in the Gospels. Resolution? Read a few verses each day. Don't think big. Think small. A few verses of the gospel each day. Sit down and figure out the things you can do. Wherever you are, push forward a bit. In the spiritual life, he who does not advance stagnates. Now you're active. Now you're moving forward. Now you've opened the door for Christ to reach in and pull you farther along. It's an art. But there's got to be a plan. So, takeaways. Number one, don't hate your mother and father, please. But if they or anything else slow you down, as hard as it might be, we must hold them at naught. Obstacles, what I need to avoid. What do I need to do? Got to have a plan. Luke 14, read what Jesus is talking about here. What is my plan? Counsel from an old priest. Think small, slow, steady, because it is a bit of a race. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.